film, music, art, ideas. It's the 2018 Free State Festival. I'm Kay McIntyre, and today on KPR Presents, we'll preview the 8th Annual Free State Festival going on September 17th through the 23rd in downtown Lawrence. Marlo Angel is the director and founder of the festival. Marlo, it is always great to see you.
You too. Thank you for having me, Kay.
We have this conversation every year, I realize, but for those people who haven't been to the festival before, have never heard of it, what's the idea behind this week-long event?
The idea behind the festival is really to bring people together for shared art experiences. We want to get people off of the couch and just having individual experiences watching Netflix and get them together as a community. So we try to bring films to the festival that engage conversation. So we don't want you to walk out of the theater and go home and not talk about it. We want you to engage, think about it, meet filmmakers behind the film, talk to your community neighbors, and really have an experience that's quite different than watching something on home entertainment.
Well, and you select the films with that in mind. They're not just kind of light romantic comedies that you're going to be like, oh, that was nice, and
right.
I don't really have much to say about it.
Yeah, there's so many factors that go into it. I think number one, just a story that's going to engage people, whether it's a documentary or a narrative film. We want people to be connected emotionally to the characters or to the subject matter of the film. And then also just have some kind of thought-provoking part that's unexpected. So, you know, you don't want to necessarily see where the film is going from A to Z. We want you to have unexpected expectations, you know, things that are going to turn it on its head and cause you to think about it in a new way. We also, Lawrence audiences are unique. So what might be good for a different festival doesn't work for Free State, and what works for Free State might not work from a different festival around the country. So over the years, since we're now in our 8th year, we've really gotten to know our audiences and what speaks to them and what kind of subject matter and just levels of engagement attract them to come to the theater.
And it's not just Lawrencians that come. There are people that come from out of town, out of state.
Yes. Yeah. And that's been really the wonderful thing that happens with the festival, is to bring outside members to the community and have them embraced by the community. And this year has been really incredible. We can see like cities from our ticket sales, and we've had people from all over traveling to see. You know, a lot of times it's the music acts or the ideas acts that they come to from out of town to, and then they get engaged in the other programming that we have. So it's always exciting to see that happen.
Are there particular themes that you're trying to hit on this year's festival?
We really want to look and dissect sort of the intersection of art and activism. So I think in today's times, one of the really cool things that I was able to do this past year for the first time is we joined an organization called Film Festival Alliance. And it's an international group of film festival organizers that come together a couple times a year to talk about different issues presenting in the film festival industry. And one of the things that came up this past year was the importance of shared storytelling. I think especially in today's times when it tends to be divisive, we really have a privilege as a festival to bring community members together and to provide a platform for diverse storytelling that might not get a big screen distribution. You might not see it at Southwind. It might not even make it to Liberty Hall. So I think providing a screen and a place where people can come together and experience those stories and then talk about them and have a lasting memory of what that experience was like is unique to festivals. And so that's something like just the different, whether it's a film that's specific to an actual activist that we have showcased as a subject matter of a documentary, or a character in the film who's taking an active role. I think that intersection of art and activism is something that kind of connected the programming this year.
Let's talk about a couple of the films that you'll be featuring. There are dozens of films, if you include all the little shorts as well. But let's just pick out a couple to talk about.
Sure. One film I'm really excited about is Agave, Spirit of a Nation. This film is really beautiful. Takes place in Mexico, and it tells the story of a couple different farmers of agave that goes into making tequila. So it's, it gives you a really strong emotional connection to the people, as well as an understanding of the industry and environmentalism and different issues that are involved. What's really special about this event is that we're going to have a tequila tasting after.
I had a feeling that was coming.
Yes. So that was kind of important to the programming, too. It's, you know, when I went to the Film Festival Alliance conference, we talked a lot about the need to create experiences that are outside of just the screen and to like translate it into unique, memorable film eventization, you know, almost. And so we're going to have, we've partnered with La Puria downtown, and they're going to provide some food selections to go along with some tastings. We have a wonderful tequila sponsor, Dolce Vita, will be providing the tequila with Crown Distributors. And so it'll be a wonderful event to connect what you've seen on the screen into an actual tactile experience afterwards. And then what's super beautiful about this night, this is the kickoff night of our festival, we also have Cheech Marin coming in. He's a legendary comedian, actor, and what people might not know about him is he's a prolific art collector of Chicano art. So I'm really excited about his talk in particular because it's all about his passion for art, especially Chicano art, and then also his new developments. Like he has a new museum that's going to open in 2020 called The Cheech, and it's the Cheech Marin Museum of Chicano Art, and it really celebrates this art. And so I think audience members are really going to be educated and entertained on Monday night.
I think, like you said, a lot of people, especially of my generation, know him just from the Cheech and Chong films. But there's a lot more to that man than the stoner image that some of us associate him with.
Yes. And that's what's really makes him the perfect festival guest. You know, we love to have interdisciplinary artists. So artists that are doing all these different disciplines. He's an author as well. He's done some beautiful children's books. He has a wonderful memoir. He's an amazing actor. You know, he even won like Celebrity Jeopardy. He's a fascinating guy. And so he's kind of the epitome of what we try to celebrate here at the festival. So we're really excited about his talk.
Let's go back to that film Agave. Do we have a clip from that?
We do.
Let's give that a listen.
We have worked this land for generations. We learned it from our fathers and mothers, passed down from their ancestors before them. The gods gifted us this miraculous plant. Sacred spirit that can only be made here in Mexico.
What's really wonderful about this film in particular, too, is the timing of it. We're screening this film on September 17th. September 16th is Mexican Independence Day. So it's a really great time to come out and celebrate Mexican culture.
And have a little tequila.
Exactly. They go kind of hand in hand.
What's an art center event without a little booze?
Yes. And, you know, one thing I have to say, I was privileged to go to a tequila sampling, you know, to try to get this event going. And I have to say, I was not the biggest tequila fan before that. There is a huge difference between, you know, our college experience with tequila and this elevated organic tequila that we'll be having. It is so dramatic in terms of the difference. And I'm a fan. And it'll have an educational component because we have Josh Burnett from Dolce Vita will come and give a presentation about each sample that you'll taste.
So he'll be kind of guiding people through what it is you should be looking for, similar to a wine tasting?
Similar to a wine tasting, and also give me a little bit of the history. And I think coming off of that documentary, which does such an amazing job of giving you the background of tequila, and having our filmmakers there, we have two filmmakers from the film that'll be attending the screening, and having that juxtaposed to your actual experience of it is going to be unforgettable.
For me, one of the coolest things about the Free State Festival is the fact that a lot of the directors or people that are involved in the film come, and they're not just there to watch, they engage with the audience. And that's a really incredible thing to watch.
Yeah, this is probably the first year that we have someone from the film with every single film screening. So there's been, I don't know if it's the timing, we recently changed to September. We used to do the film festival in June. And we decided to change to the fall just to attract more of our university components between Haskell and KU. you know, in terms of students as well as professors' engagement. And it was really interesting with this timing approaching filmmakers to attend. We got all acceptances this year, where I think it might just be easier in their festival schedule to attend. So that's a real privilege for us this year.
And also, it's really hot to be just walking around downtown.
And that was a key factor as well, was just, you know, going from one venue. And the beauty of a festival is being able to go from one venue to the next. You don't want to just have it in one location, or it just feels like that organization's singular event. Well, we really strive for this festival to feel like the city's signature event. So, you know, engaging and walking down from Liberty Hall to the Art Center, or going to an event at La Pria, like having that experience in the heat of 90 degree June is a little different feeling than the beauty of September here in Lawrence, Kansas.
Let's talk about another film.
Yes. So excited this year because we have some beautiful art documentaries. One film I'm super excited about is Meow Wolf Origin Story. What makes this film so special, it's about an incredible interactive museum in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
I was going to say, you probably need to start out explaining what Meow Wolf is, because it's unlike any kind of art installation or art, I don't want to call it a museum. How would you describe Meow Wolf?
It is hard to put your finger on, because there is nothing like it to compare it to. You know, almost the City Museum in St. Louis has a similar feel to it, but this is on a whole other level. There's a level of storytelling. It's basically a house, a museum that you walk through and experience, but there's a story that goes with it. So you have a lot of unexpected surprises that happen, and everything is fabricated, and there's just this beautiful visual art component that goes into the storytelling. So this group of artists started this museum in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and what's really special about it is that a couple of the founders are from Lawrence, Kansas. So we're so excited that they're going to join us for the film screening and come back to Lawrence and experience it with their community. So Lindsay Kennedy and Katie Kennedy are from Lawrence, and they'll be here for the film screening. And Katie was one of the founders of Meow Wolf, and her husband, Matt King, is a fabrication director there, and he will be joining the screening as well. So it's a great time for us to celebrate our hometown successes and then also get some insight into this incredible museum. They've had so much commercial success with their enterprise that they've expanded to Denver. So they're going to have an installation opening up in Denver very soon. And it's just, I think for local artists especially, to be able to see their journey, the film does an incredible job of showing what that pressure can be like when you have this artistic dream and then there's commercial success. And how do you manage that? How do you keep track of your individual ambition for it and the heart and soul of it? And then how do you deal with the commercial aspects of making it successful and those different marketing pressures that come involved with that? So it's going to be an incredible film.
And do we have a clip from that?
Yes, we do.
Excellent. Let's give that a listen.
You'll turn the corner and open up a door into another world.
People need to see this. This is the new art.
It's just this creative explosion.
A lot of playful extremeness.
We can't wait for others to invite us. It's time for us to just do what we want to do.
The art world needs that. They need to get shaken up a little bit.
We knew that we were doing something that was like crazy. Man, we wanted it so badly.
The Meow Wolf Gang have done something truly unique. I think it's amazing.
We never would have guessed that what's happening right now would have happened.
Marlo, not really knowing how to describe what Meow Wolf is without seeing the film, I'm wondering if this is anything like an installation that was at the Art Center last year, the Time Shift Paradox?
Yes, it's much in line with that kind of installation. So if you came and saw it at the Art Center, you will love this documentary because what Justin Marable did was tell a story through it, the galleries. And so it was really cool because you could enter from one part of the galleries and you were taken on a journey. Like you would see all of the furniture and all of the habitat of his characters. And then you could see different aspects of that journey as you went along. And Meow Wolf is much the same way. So everything is tactile, everything, you engage with it. It's not like you're just walking by and just seeing something. You have interactive experiences with the museum. So if you loved that exhibit, you should definitely come see this film.
And if you didn't go to that exhibit, again, it's like you're walking into someone's house and it yes. looks like a fairly normal house at the beginning. And as you're walking through, it's like, wait, what's this?
Yes. And there's some unexpected surprises.
Yes,
so exactly. something that you might open that you think is an appliance might take you somewhere else into the museum. That's pretty incredible. And what I love about those kind of installations in museums is they're engaging for people of all ages. So kids love it. So we would see kids that came into the Justin Marable's exhibit and just be, you know, captivated by what they're seeing. And then adults could see the intricacies. So they might make the thematic connections. They might read all the little details that are hanging on the wall. So it really is something that families, you know, all generations enjoy.
I want to talk about two of the films that you're highlighting at this year's Free State Festival that feature a local filmmaker who's quite well known. Kevin Wilmot is in the spotlight right now with his new film, The Black Klansman, which you'll be showing that as well as his documentary about William Allen White.
Yes. And what's pretty incredible about these two films in particular is that there's some themes that are connected between them. I was able to see a sneak peek of the documentary about William Allen White at KU months before we had closed submissions for the festival. And I learned so much. It was one of those films that, you know, I thought I knew about William Allen White, but I did not know everything that he accomplished. And so seeing his connections with driving the Klan out of Kansas and then juxtaposing that with Black Klansmen, I think there's going to be some amazing opportunities for connections and discussion. And we're so excited to show Black Klansman. That was one of the films that was on the top of my list from the very beginning. I think the opportunity for Lawrence audiences to engage with Kevin on the film, you know, just having a different experience than maybe going to Southwind, but seeing it at Liberty Hall with 600 other community members and then being able to talk to Kevin afterwards about his idea for the script, how it came about, the themes in the movie, I think that's going to be a unique event. And it's going to be a highlight of the festival for sure.
And if you missed my interview with Kevin Wilmot a couple weeks ago here on KPR Presents, it's archived at our website, kansaspublicradio.org. It's really unusual for a festival like this to have a film that is showing concurrently in sort of big name theaters.
Yeah, that's something that's never happened for us. Like, we've never had that opportunity to screen something while it has a concurrent mainstream distribution. And it's going to be a really fun experience. I think we've had many people that are going to the screening that have already seen it in theaters, but they want to see it again with Kevin. It's definitely a film that warrants seeing a couple times because just the complexity of the storytelling, just the feelings that you feel while you're watching it, it is such a powerful film. And I think having Kevin here in town, the screenwriter behind it, I think, you know, the writing is so strong in this film. And so having the opportunity to talk to him afterwards and really celebrate one of our local talents that has soared so high, I think is going to be a magical experience for Lawrence.
We've got a film clip from Black Klansman. Let's give that a listen.
I didn't want to say what trap, but that Peckerwood had a gun in my face. And he was an ass hair away from pulling the trigger.
And he didn't.
But he could have. And then I would have been dead. For what?
I'm not risking my life to prevent some rednecks from lighting a couple sticks on fire.
This is the job. What's your problem?
That's my problem. For you, it's a crusade. Mm-hmm. For me, it's a job. It's not personal, nor should it be.
Why haven't you bought into this?
Why should I?
Because you're Jewish, brother. The so-called chosen people. You've been passing for a WASP. White Anglo-Saxon Protestant, cherry pie, hot dog, white boy. That's what some light-skinned black folks do. They pass for white. Doesn't that hatred you've been hearing the Klan say, doesn't that piss you off?
Of course it does.
Then why are you acting like you ain't got skin in the game, brother?
Rookie, that's my business.
It's our business. Now I'm going to get you your membership card so you can go to the cross burning and get in okay. deeper with these guys.
Right, partner?
That was a clip from the Black Klansman. Screenwriter for that was Lawrence's own Kevin Wilmot. That film will be shown as part of the Free State Festival coming up September
19th.
But?
Yes. So the film screens on Wednesday, the 19th at 8 o'clock, and people were so hungry to have this experience. And I tell you, you know, we get inquiries before our film lineup is announced. I had so many inquiries. Are you showing BlacKkKlansman? Are you showing BlacKkKlansman? So we put up our tickets on a Friday. By that Sunday, it had all been sold out. So it's pretty intense and telling, like, how hungry we are to engage with our filmmakers and to celebrate somebody that's close to our hearts that we've known for years. Kevin has been involved with the festival from day one. In addition to being a super talented writer and director, he's also just a generous person who goes beyond, you know, his requirements and really seeks to engage with people. And so that's why we're humbled and honored to be able to present this screening. It is sold out. We will have a standby line. So we did have, it's a free screening, which we were super excited to offer. And if people, even though it's sold out, if you want to show up and go to a standby line, it's possible if people RSVP'd and did not show up, we will be letting some in. So fingers crossed, we'd love to see you there.
Okay. One of the films that caught my eye that you're showing as part of the Free State Film Festival is Mankiller, the story of Wilmo Mankiller. Tell me about that film.
Yes, we're so excited, especially about the opportunity to screen this film at Haskell. So this is about Wilmo Mankiller, and she was the first female head of the Cherokee Nation, which was a really big deal. And so she was a feminist, an activist, and as part of our partnership with Haskell, they have a wonderful event going on the same weekend of the festival. It's called Keeping Legends Alive. And their event on Friday honors World War I veterans. The Haskell Commemorative Arch commemorates World War I veterans, and it's 100th anniversary. And so it just so happens that their events are going on that same weekend. So they've opened the doors to us, and we're going to be screening Mankiller for free. It's a gorgeous documentary about feminism, about activism, about just personal struggles and, you know, how you can overcome obstacles and really get to a goal that's important. And we're privileged that Valerie Redhorse will be here, the film's director. She's quite an accomplished filmmaker, and she'll be here for Q&A after the film. So we're really excited about that.
Okay, let's give that a listen.
This is the story of an American hero, someone who humbly defied the odds, overcame insurmountable obstacles to fight injustice, and gave a voice to the voiceless. This is the story of American legend, Wilma Mankiller.
My own personal perspective is that I'm a pretty ordinary person that just happened to be given an opportunity to do extraordinary things in my life.
When Wilma Mankiller was 10, she and her family were relocated from Cherokee lands in Oklahoma to San Francisco.
Our move to California was part of a relocation program designed to, quote, solve the Indian problem.
It was an act of genocide.
That was the real start of her journey, for better or for worse.
It was in San Francisco during the Civil Rights era that she found her voice and a belief in the power to make change.
Being a bystander to history was not her destiny.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag.
And that's where places like Alcatraz really made a big difference.
It ain't me.
It's always been a struggle to maintain tribal sovereignty. We're under siege. I tell you, it's going to take a fight.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Cherokee Nation Chief of Chiefs, Wilma Mankiller.
Chief Wilma Mankiller and the Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma, hello!
Women in leadership in eastern Oklahoma are a rare commodity.
Sexism is like racism. It's very dehumanizing.
Even though she faced tragedy in her life, she didn't give up. She is an embodiment of the strength of Cherokee women.
She was determined to let the Cherokee people be on their own without all the bureaucracy of the federal government.
I've done everything I could do to make everybody in the world mad at me this last 4 years. I don't beat around the bush.
Wilma and I are so far apart politically, it's not even humorous. I'm very conservative, and Wilma is very liberal, but I always supported her.
It's a story of meeting adversity time after time and getting up, starting over again, and beginning to rebuild.
I mean, she went from being a street kid in Oakland to being a member of the Ford Foundation.
She was not only the guardian of the centuries-old Cherokee heritage, but a revered leader who built a brighter and healthier future for her nation.
There is no single word to describe Wilma Mankiller.
Activist.
Advocate.
Leader.
Mother.
Wife.
Chief.
I really didn't realize until I got older the impact Mom had on not just the Indian people, but the world.
In a just country, she would have been elected president.
That's Mankiller, which will be showing as part of Free State Film Festival 2018. As you said, this film is being shown in cooperation with Haskell University, and that's one of the really key parts of this festival. It's not just the Lawrence Arts Center.
Right.
You've reached out to different organizations in the community to sort of make this a community event.
That's just been so amazing, like over the history of the festival, now in our eighth year. It started out when we first began in 2011, 2012. It was a small in-house production of the Lawrence Arts Center. And as we've grown, we grew really big, like in 2014, 2015, with a huge grant from the NEA. And we were able to involve so many partners. And as we've evolved to find our focus and really enhance our mission, we found this wonderful sweet spot where we've kind of become sustainable through some beautiful support from the City of Lawrence, our outstanding sponsors, and then also our partners in the community that have come together to either provide programming or open their doors to us and really make this an event that speaks to the heart of the festival. You know, we want to celebrate with our name being Free State. We celebrate our abolitionist history and Kansas's position in being revolutionary. And so we try to expose our community to all of our different viewpoints and mindsets and really have some engaging, thought-provoking, provocative content. So having some wonderful partners, KU Commons is bringing in an incredible author. The Raven Bookstore is bringing in authors. And so having that kind of programming like Craig Johnson, Michelle T., Haskell opening their doors for a film screening, KU coming on board to support so many film screenings with their moderators and presence. I think it's going to be such a great event this year, especially.
Lest you think that all the films are heavy and have a super important message and they're all just for grown-ups, there's a really delightful animated film that you're showing for kids. Not just for kids, for families.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited about The Big Bad Fox and Other Tales. This film was animated by the animators from Ernest and Celestine, which we showed a few years back. So we've kind of made it a tradition of doing Saturday morning cartoons in a way. So really making the festival an experience that families can engage with. So adults will love this film because it's gorgeously animated. And then kids will love it because really preschool and up, it's just, you know, entertaining and soft and embracing. And I think it's just a great opportunity to come together as a community. I think one thing, you know, we do want to make sure film stays vibrant for all generations. So there's always talk about, like, how do we get young people to share the love of cinema like we do in our older generations and really providing something that's unique. You know, there's no experience like sitting in a theater and going from middle to end with 300 people. Like, that's so unique to cinema. And just being able to experience that art form in a compressed timeline and then laugh with your neighbors and then cry sometimes in the middle of the theater, that's so special. And so I think, like, you know, that's what I love about the family programming is it's really, you know, spreading that love of film through all generations.
Marlo, you're not just the director of the Free State Festival and its founder. You are yourself a filmmaker and you bring some of your own creative genius into a part of the festival that's educational in nature, and that's nurturing young storytellers.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Oh my gosh, that's always the heart of the festival for me, is seeing young people be empowered by the art form. You know, I think sometimes we just feel like consumers, like we're just getting so much information and digesting information and sorting through information. But the idea of becoming a creator of the content, I think, is so empowering. So we had a great opportunity this year from our grant funding from the NEA to teach filmmaking to a couple of organizations in town. One was Centro Hispano, and that was such an incredible experience. We worked with an amazing group of middle schoolers, and they did digital storytelling, so they're able to tell their own individual stories through auditory, almost like spoken word poetry. as well as visual. And then we worked on a group narrative project together, which we'll screen at the festival. So we're really excited about that. We also worked with Van Gogh. I worked with Van Gogh many years, and they are just an incredible organization that really puts job training skills as well as art into their programming. And film is such the perfect example of that, where it's a hard skill. Like, you have to really be trained in the technical aspects of filmmaking. But then there's the artistic side, which is harder to identify as a hard skill, but it's more of like getting your story told. So they each member that we taught at Van Gogh did their own digital storytelling project, which we'll screen at the festival. So that's always the heart of the festival for me, is our outreach film showcase.
Marla, we focused on the films, but we haven't really talked much about the panels and some of the ideas portion of the festival.
One panel that I'm super excited about, it's about fake news. And so it's this incredible journalism panel, which has journalists from all around the area, the Lawrence Journal World, the Kansas City Star, Topeka Capital Journal, and KU School of Journalism. And it talks about like how we are experiencing, you know, fake news and how to the importance of trusted news sources. So I think community members are really going to enjoy that. And that's a free panel for everyone to attend. We also have some incredible authors coming to visit us this year. The KU Commons is bringing in Michelle T. And she's a wonderful author. What I'm kind of excited about her, one of her books was called Valencia. And it was recently made into a film with, I think it was 20 different vignettes from her book, which was a series of vignettes. She's kind of called an anti-memoirist because she does a lot of essays that are personal in nature, but not identified as memoir. She's super funny, super engaging. The LGBTQ community, I think, is really going to circle around this event.
Let's talk about one last film.
One film that we're excited to highlight is a film called Sadie. And this is a beautifully directed narrative film by Megan Griffiths. And it stars Sophia Mitry-Sloss, who is a young, talented actress in her teens. And we showed one of her films last year that she starred in. It's called Lane 1974. This is the same actress, so you get to see her grow up in a really incredible role. It's really a tour de force. She plays the title character, Sadie, and she lives alone with her single mom. Her dad is away in the military service and keeps re-upping his service commitment. And so she's kind of dealing with coming of age, you know, her own identity, and then having to maybe accept that he's not coming back. And it's not through an injury, but just, you know, his commitment and, you know, and maybe like what her future is going to entail. So it does an incredible job of character development. She is such a strong character. There's humor. There's empathy. There's so many wonderful emotions that people are taking on in this film. And she'll be here for the screening. And we're so excited to talk to her about it. In addition, we may even ask her a little bit about Lane 1974. And I think Lawrence is really going to enjoy the story.
Let's give that film a listen.
Hey, Dad. Not much to report. The news said we were scaling back troops. Do you think you'll be able to come home for good soon? I miss you a lot, Sadie.
I don't think you owe that man another day, much less another year, okay? You put your whole life on hold.
You wanna walk me home?
Why don't you like Cyrus? I think he's nice.
Nice people don't break up families.
Do you want to tell me what's going on with you, Sadie?
That's the trailer for Sadie, one of the many films featured at this year's Free State Festival at the Lawrence Arts Center. The festival kicks off Monday, September 17th, and goes through Sunday, September 23rd, with film, music, art, and ideas. I'm visiting with Marlo Angel. She's the director and founder of the Free State Festival, now in its eighth year. Marlo, can you walk us through some of the logistics, the how-tos of going to the festival?
Yes. So if you go to freestatefestival.org, you can see a full lineup of all of our events. You can buy individual tickets. We also have a number of wonderful free events, including Mankiller and Black Klansman, which we're able to offer for free. We have some incredible panels. Some of our author talks are free. And then you have the option of buying a pass. And with the pass, you can literally go to everything. I would encourage people to buy their pass early. This is maybe the first year we might sell out of passes. never been a problem for us before, but they are going like hotcakes. And I think people love the opportunity to be able to experience the journey of the festival all at once. We really tried not to overprogram. When we ballooned up with our NEA funding, people had to make choices. And in our survey results, we found out they did not want to make choices.
It was really hard. I know I looked at the schedule and thought, well, there's three things going on right now. I can't even narrow it down to two.
Exactly. And much the same feedback from a large variety of audiences. So we really decided not to overprogram and make it so you can pretty much go to everything. So yeah, that's really the best way to experience the festival, I think, is the festival pass.
And you can also relax a little bit between events instead of feeling like, okay, this one's done at 5:30. Yes. If I run down the street, I can make it to the next one.
And we try to provide some culinary experiences this year, like the tequila tasting, some happy hours and that kind of thing, so that you can be nourished in between.
Great. Sounds like a fun, fun week.
Yes, we're excited about it.
We'll see you there.
Thank you so much, Kay.
We'll have more about this year's Free State Festival coming up right after this. We're previewing the 2018 Free State Festival going on September 17th through the 23rd in downtown Lawrence. Ben Alvers is the Exhibits Program Director at the Lawrence Arts Center and, along with Marlo Angel, Artistic Director of the Free State Festival. Ben, it is always great to see you.
It's good to be here.
We've talked to Marlo about some of the films that we'll be seeing at the festival and some of the ideas portion of the festival. But the festival's more than just that. Music from the beginning has been a really key component. Tell me what we can expect for the festival this year.
Yeah, for sure. It's always been kind of an anchor in the festivals of the past and in different iterations, and this year is no different. We've got a couple of really great bands. One band playing on Saturday the 22nd is Fantastic Negrito, and this band is sort of this funk folk kind of eccentric presentation, but very politically charged and very, very timely. And they won the first Tiny Desk NPR, I don't know if it's a competition, but it's that distinction. They were the very, very first ones to get that. And so they're going to be playing in the theater that Saturday night of the festival. And I think that's going to be a stunner. I've never seen them live. I've just kind of followed them around through the computers and through their music. So yeah, they're going to be there. And then the following night at the Bottleneck, which is just down the street from us, J.C. Brooks is going to play. And they're kind of a throwback R&B outfit that's it's contemporary, but it definitely nods at the past. So it's, again, I've not seen them play live as well, but I think they're they definitely look like they put on a really great show. It should be a lot of fun, probably a lot of dancing. And so that's kind of the closing bit in terms of the festival. Check the website for start times on that. But yeah, it should be a blast.
What is it you look for, Ben, in booking those acts? In what kind of music or what kind of vibe are you looking for from those groups?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think this year, especially with Fantastic Negrito, I think the crossover between different ideas or movements that are socially and culturally pressing. They're around us in all sorts of ways. And I think artists that sort of go after that full force and directly, I think that's something that's of interest. And I think it's echoed through the films that Marlo, you know, puts into the festival. I think there's definitely that kind of attitude that we're looking at that I think it's not just interesting, it's important and necessary. And I think given Lawrence, Kansas musical roots, I think it's a strong music community here, and I think it's also very socially engaged community here. I think when those two things can combine, I think it makes for a really interesting opportunity for people to experience something that's not going to happen otherwise.
Ben, talk to me about some of the art that's going to be part of the festival.
Sure. We actually already have a show up now that I think if you haven't seen it, you should, by Benjamin Rosenthal. And it's a multimedia experience. He's an expanded media professor here at the University of Kansas. And that show, I think, will be one of the features of the festival. But we have an artist named Luc Dubois who's coming in. And Luc has been to Lawrence before. And he comes out of New York City. He's a professor at New York University. And he's doing several projects here. He came here 2 or 3 years ago and worked at the Lawrence Public Library with their analog synthesizer that they have, which is totally unique. And I would bet a dollar there's not another library that has one of these things. But he went down there and he recorded all this music. So this year he's going to perform live with it. And I don't think that synthesizer has come up out of their studio in the basement of the library. So that's going to come out on Saturday at 2 o'clock, and there's going to be a live performance with this synthesizer. And if you've not seen one of these instruments used, it's totally bizarre. It's this weird cross-section of analog and digital, and I have no idea how it works, but Luke's going to come here and do that. We also have some sort of guerrilla-style projections that'll be happening around Lawrence, downtown Lawrence specifically, that are connected to some Langston Hughes works that we're not reinterpreting, but we're sort of visualizing them, and they'll be projected on buildings, various places in Lawrence. And so there's nothing that you can read about that. It's just going to happen, and you just have to be paying attention. So that's something we've not tried before. There's an artist, her name's Claudia Hart, and she is what I would consider to be a pioneer in electronic media in terms of artists using that to create work. And this is close to me given my ceramics background, she has this piece that I think is 60 plates, ceramic plates. The imagery, the patterns that are on the surfaces of these pieces, act as a QR code of sorts. It's not really a QR code, but it functions in a similar way. So it creates this sort of new reality of what these plates, these decorative things are. And so we're going to install those in the Art Center lobby, and it'll be from floor to ceiling. There'll be these plates should be pretty cool to see that and experience. So you can look at it with your eyes, but you can also reinterpret it with your phone through this app, there in person. So that should be a cool project. And then lastly, I think Echoes Through the Green Space is a project that's by a local artist named Nick Carswell,
who works just next door to us at Audio Reader.
Of course. He and a group of cohorts have they're actually crowdsourcing right now imagery. This is all about the history of South Park and the different events and things that have happened in that space since its inception. And so he's working with the Watkins Museum, and they have all this historical information and imagery. But there's also a lot of participation that users like you and I have been to South Park, and we probably have a picture on our phone or in our camera of something that happened in South Park. And so they're collecting all of these things, and the project, the presentation of it, will manifest at night on the Sunday night of the festival throughout the park, kind of centered around the gazebo that's there. But it really talks about the nature, it talks about the history, and it talks about the future of it. And so there'll be live performances, there'll be projections throughout, there'll be sort of activities or things that especially kids could get into, but really it's a fascinating project. And I think I just met with him last week, and there's so much material to work with, but they're still looking for more. So anybody that is interested in participating, look them up. They have a website and ways that people can participate in the content of what will take place there.
Ben, this is the 8th year for the Free State Festival. From your perspective, how is the festival evolved over the years in terms of your portion of it?
And for me personally, the idea of temporary public art is not something that I was well versed in. And I didn't know many people that had been. And so from the beginning, I really went into it wide-eyed and just exploring, and it was exciting. And you know, what I've learned along the way has been pretty significant, and just in terms of how it actually works and how do you get something from idea to manifest, you know, on the street or hanging something off the side of Weavers, you know, like what does it actually take? How many of those outlets on Massachusetts Street actually work? You know, all of these things you learn just by doing it. But I think what I continue to draw on or look at, I think is, you know, there's so many different ways that art can be engaged in the public sphere, you know, everything from a mural to a sculpture that's anchored to a sidewalk or a patio somewhere, to a projection on the side of a building, to, you know, the cloud sculpture we had here.
I was just thinking about that, actually. I have such a vivid memory of standing underneath this cloud sculpture outside the Lawrence Art Center and pulling on the strings that turned the lights on inside the cloud. It was such an arresting image, and it was so engaging to people, whether they were pouring out of the art center and already sort of knew what was going on with the festival, or if they just happened to be walking by and thought, what the heck is that?
Right. Yeah, I think something like that, that's a good example of something that can really function on multiple levels with multiple generations, and people from any kind of background can take something away from it and can engage and give something back. So I think the interactive nature of some of these projects has been really motivating for me, and it's not something in my training or background that I was always thinking about. And so the festival for me, in terms of working with arts and artists, that's been something that's resonated, and I think is really the future. I think it's the future of public art in a lot of ways. I think the traditional methods of public art are standards, and they'll always be there, your murals and your sculptures. But I do think thinking about the way we navigate through a space, whether it's down a street, in a building, art has a role to play, and I think there's lots and lots of ways to approach that. And so what I like doing is working with artists who are thinking about those things too, and bringing that kind of thinking here, and how do we, you know, Lawrence is fiercely independent, and I think some of these projects have been stronger than others, and that's the way it should be. But I think that we have things to learn too from others coming in and showing us what they've learned in other places. So, that's kind of it with the art part of this thing.
Ben, earlier this hour, Marlo and I talked about one of the films that will be part of the Free State Festival, but I wanted to get your take on it as an artist. Tell me about Meow Wolf.
Meow Wolf, it's all the rage. All the kids love it. I was out there earlier this year for the first time.
And in Santa Fe.
Yeah, in Santa Fe. It's a bizarre kind of, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory on LSD, just room after room, layer after layer, micro, macro, like everything, and visual and audio and textures and smells. And it's akin to the City Museum in St. Louis that I think of with this. And again, it's how are people interact with these places, these things. But it's very exciting. It was so crowded with kids, but I think, it's an interesting example of if you give artists a space and a little bit of resources, they can make make some things that could have never been formulated, you know, in any other way. I think they had the passion and they had the ideas, and they found a way to make this thing work, and then it's just sort of ballooned into this thing that now is being replicated and morphing in different towns, different, you know, Las Vegas and Denver, and you know, it's a big deal.
Most of the artists that you bring in for the Free State Festival, you're bringing in from elsewhere. Mm-hmm. To what extent are you trying to engage it with the arts community here in Lawrence?
Well, we've done that in a variety of ways, and sometimes that's predicated upon having funding to do that. One year, you know, with the funding that we had in place, we just put out a call for entries, and anybody in the county, I think, was the parameter, but could submit, you know, a proposal for an idea, and we would help facilitate those projects. We've done that before. You know, Nick Carswell's project is certainly homegrown, and he was working on that independently, but had approached us about, you know, bridging that with the festival, and it made perfect sense. We've done it in a variety of ways, and I think each year, you know, last year there was virtually no visual art in the festival, and that was for a variety of reasons. And we want the art component to be one of the anchors within the festival. I think film certainly has been driving it from day one, and it should. It's Marlo has a great vision, but yeah, I think we engage artists who have great ideas and hope to work with them to make it work, whether they're you know from here or from somewhere else. I don't get too caught up in that.
Ben, what else would you like us to know about the arts and music portion of the Free State Festival?
I think spending the time. I think sometimes with visual art, there's a tendency that it's kind of drive by, and it's very, if it doesn't hit you within 5 seconds, you're going to move on. And I think there are many great things that we experience in life that take longer than a few seconds to get. So I'm starting to sound like my dad or something, but
all begin to sound like our fathers at some point.
Yeah, it's happening. But I think that, you know, with some of these projects, you know, even the synthesizer, I mean, that's just, it looks like a dishwasher from Mars, you know, and it's just cords that are being plugged in and out of holes. But I think it's fascinating. I think it's fascinating when somebody could create something that has not existed before with a tool that that's available. You know, I think that's really a basic element that I think all artists are sort of interested in. At least I am.
Ben Alvers is one of the artistic directors of the Free State Festival, along with Marlo Angel. Find out more about the Free State Festival at freestatefestival.org. Ben, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
This year's festival will feature music by Fantastic Negrito on September 22nd. He's described his style as Black Roots music for everyone. For the rest of this hour, we'll hear a conversation with Fantastic Negrito and Kyle Meredith from The Speed of Sound. This comes to us through PRX, the Public Radio Exchange.
Fantastic Negrito has lived several lives already. He's gone through the ringers of being signed, shelved, and dropped from a major label, survived a horrible car accident that left him in a coma, having to relearn to use one of his hands. That led to a new style of guitar playing for him, and a lot on his mind. A lot on his mind. And it all comes out on his new record, one of my favorite of the year, The Last Days of Oakland. I'm Kyle Meredith at The Speed of Sound.
The Last Days of Oakland.
The Black Panther.
So
the end of something.
Crack cocaine.
And the beginning of something.
Hell's Angels.
The Last Days of Oakland. It was like, you know, going to L.A., meeting Dave Gilbert, who really helped and guided me and was the person who really was like, hey, give this guy $1 million.
Yeah.
Now. That's how he did it. That was phase one. Then I had the accident. Mm-hmm. And I'm in the hospital and I'm in the coma and no one shows up except Dave Gilbert. So that was phase two, where I just was I just started opening up illegal nightclubs, and I had all these incarnations like Chocolate Butterfly, Blood Sugar, and me and this Japanese guy, Soul Pony. I became all these different people, and I'd write music. I got a lot of music and film. That was part two, and then after that, I just kind of lost it. I said, I want to try something else. So I'm like, let's see what it's like to be married. That's part of the human spectrum. And I thought, let's see what it's like to have a kid.
Right.
So I wanted to try that. And I said, I'm done with music. I have nothing to say. And so that was, when it ended for the second time. And then the third time was having the little boy. I just played a G major and boom. And he's like, oh, my God, music.
Yeah.
And he couldn't even talk. And that began the birth of Fantastic New Group.
How did you end up on the Chris Cornell tour?
It was pretty much like I'd heard, oh, Chris Cornell's looking for an opener, and I thought that would never be me. I mean, I couldn't really see the connection, but I should have seen the connection, but I was not thinking.
Yeah.
And Chris told me, like, man, someone sent me your link, and he said I pressed on it, and I just knew. And he said I was just listening to it and kept listening to it, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. And it was that easy. We went to Europe, and I thought I was done in Europe. I was like, bye, Chris, did my hugs. And then he said, hey, you want to do the States? And I'm like, you don't say no to Chris Cornell.
No, you don't.
You don't say no to him. And so it was, again, just amazing. And it's so great. I remember him telling me, like, he says, man, I'm going to introduce you to my audience. Mm-hmm. And it's been great. It's been very nice meeting you.
Yeah, it seems kind of fitting too. I know his album is called Higher Truth, and I get a lot of that from your album, The Last Days of Oakland. I keep on knocking, but I can't get in. Why do we always go back home, even when we know that that's the place that was the root of everything that went wrong?
I think we go back home sometimes when we've got our butts kicked.
Yeah.
And we just need a hug from a friend. It's like we just need to get around those people that love you unconditionally. Whether you can do something for them or not, that they're there, and your friends and your family is, I really believe that that's your wealth. And when I got back to Oakland and I quit music for 5 years, the irony was that here I was, I hooked up with the same guys that I'd ran away with as a kid, that I'd sold drugs on the corner with as a kid, that we've been through life and death situations. I went into business with these guys. We started a collective, writer, musician, hustlers, everybody, artists. We got together. We put all of our money together, and we invested in each other. Instead of getting a loan from a bank, we got a loan from the brother that was growing the marijuana, So medical marijuana, and it was all legal, damn it. Back off.
Fantastic Negrito, one of many attractions at this year's Free State Festival, September 17th through the 23rd. This interview with Fantastic Negrito comes to us through PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. Find out more about the festival's events at freestatefestival.com. I'm Kay McIntyre. KPR Presents is a production of Kansas Public Radio at the University of Kansas. Lonely people, you and I.